ask for your prayers today. I want to begin with some scripture found in the writings of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. I want to read a few verses. Isaiah chapter 30, beginning with verse 8. And this was something that was addressed to the children of Judah as they had become rebellious. It in a book that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Now listen to this 10th verse particularly. Yet say to the seers, see not. Not to us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. In other words, tell us what we want to hear. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of remind you of these things that are spoken of in the 30th chapter of Isaiah here. And so let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and read a few verses as well. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to Timothy not long before he was martyred. And he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So Isaiah chapter 30 says that the people desired this of the seers, that they see not, and of the prophets, that they would not prophesy unto them truth. Don't prophesy unto us right things, but prophesy and speak unto us smooth things and prophesy deceits. And Paul said, warned Timothy, the preacher Timothy, that the time would come when people would not endure the truth. They would not endure sound doctrine, but that after their own lust, they would heap to themselves teachers, heap to themselves, have many of them, because they have itching ears. And so I want to speak today about the great importance of truth. I want to speak today about what truth is. The Bible tells us what truth is and how important that it is. It's so important that in Proverbs 23:23, Solomon said this is what we ought to do with the truth. He said we ought to buy it and sell it not. We ought to get hold of the truth and never let go of it. And I'm going to be honest today. I have a great love, and I know that you feel this way as well. I have a great love and appreciation in my heart for churches who have held on to the truth, that have maintained the truth. Because, you know, if we don't do that, then we're of no value at all to the Lord. The truth, and I know that sometimes this is hard for, I think, perhaps people to understand, but the truth is more important than any church. Because if a church does not promote and maintain the truth, you know what will happen? The Lord will not stay there. And if you read in the second and third chapter of the Revelation concerning the seven churches of Asia, it will substantiate that the Lord will not stick around if a church does not maintain the truth. And so I'm very thankful that there are churches like Fairview Memorial and others today that are still promoting truth. Now, if we look in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, in verse 6, Jesus made this statement. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus told us there in John 14, 6, that He is the truth. In John chapter 17, in verse 17, Jesus said this when He was praying to His heavenly Father. He made this request of God. He said, He prayed this for His disciples. He said, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, again, Jesus speaks to us about the importance of the truth. In the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to John, when Jesus was before Pilate, He said that if we can understand from this how important that the truth is, Jesus told Pilate that for this purpose He had come, that He might bear witness to the truth. And Pilate asked Him the question, "Well, what is truth?" Well, Jesus is truth. His word is truth. The gospel is the gospel of truth. And so we know, as I said, from the scriptures, what the truth is. Now, if Jesus said that His word is God's word is truth, we know that when the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Preach the word," we could say, "Preach the truth," and it would mean exactly the same thing, because God's word is truth. And you know, that's what we, and I might pause here for a moment and talk to those of us that God has called to preach. That is the essence of what we are to preach. We are not just to tell stories. We're not just to stand up before people and tell stories about our grandmother and grandfather and things that happened in our life, but we are to preach the word of the Lord. We are to preach the truth unto people. And we are told that we are to do that in season and out of season. We are to do that when it's convenient. We are to do that when it's not so convenient. We are to take every opportunity that is given to us to honor the call that God gave to us when he called us to preach and to preach his word. The Apostle Paul said here, he told Timothy to preach the word, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Apostle Paul also, in writing, I believe, to 1 Timothy, he said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for these things. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, listen, oftentimes, and I think that certainly we are seeing this. I tried to speak about this somewhat here Wednesday night, but we are seeing this in the world today. And I suppose that when I think about my own life, and I really did give serious thought to this, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to stand up here and say things that are not accurate. But in my life, I know that this has always been true to an extent, but I believe that right now, presently, that I am seeing the truth of God's word challenged more than I ever have in my life. And the reason for that is that many times, you know, there's a reason that people don't want the truth. There's a reason that people would rather hear smooth things or rather hear something that's not true. Because, listen, if you want to live in a way that contradicts the Word of God, when you sit under the sound of the truth, it's going to convict you of your sins. The Word of truth has that power. And those of us that certainly that have been saved know that, that when we were lost and without the Lord, the gospel, the truth of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit bearing witness to the truth, it didn't make us feel good about ourselves, did it, Brother Lowe? It made us feel guilty. It made us feel guilty before God. It brought condemnation to us. It made us feel conviction of sin. And listen, that same God's word will work that way still in the hearts of people today that are saved. You know, if we have sin in our lives, the truth will convict us of that. And so oftentimes, you know, there are people that choose, just like people in the world today are choosing to live a lifestyle. They're choosing to live in a way. And let me say this, you know, people can argue this all they want, but I'm going to tell you they're wrong. People do not that live a lifestyle that is in direct conflict to the Word of God. They have chosen that life. God did not create them that way. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to think that God would create somebody to where they would have no choice but to live in a way that contradicts his truth. That's a scapegoat, isn't it? They have chosen that. And listen, we are responsible, all of us, we are responsible before God for how we live our lives, and the scriptures teach us that we are going to answer to God for that. We're going to go one day and we're going to all give an account unto God for how that we have lived, the things that we have done in the body, whether they're good or bad. If you don't believe that's true, just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and you'll read that Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we must account for the things we've done in the body, whether they're good or bad. And listen, I'm going to tell you something, that when God has his day of judgment, that the standard by which he's going to judge us is the word of his truth. Revelation chapter 20 tells us about the great white throne judgment of God. John said, "And I saw a great white throne, and the heaven and the earth fled away." I'll tell you what, I'm going to turn to it and read it so I don't mess it up. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. To battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever." Now listen, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." That's the standard by which we will be judged, the word of God. And listen, everybody needs to know this, and this needs to be told to this world that we live in today. This needs to be told to this sinful society that we live in today, that when God created us, he gave us the ability to choose. But when we choose to live contrary to the truth of God's word, we will answer to God for that. We will stand before him one day, and we will give account unto him that created us, and we will answer according to the standards of truth. The world don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that anymore, but it'll preach. I'm telling you, it's the truth. God's word is truth, and God's word tells us that we're going to have to give account unto him for how we live. We're going to give account unto God one day. Let me tell you something, lost sinner. You have the choice. I pray that you make the right choice, but you have the choice before you of whether to turn to the Lord and seek him for salvation or to reject him. You have the choice, but you will have to stand before God if you continue in your unbelief and die lost and in your sins. You'll have to stand before God, and you'll have to account unto him for that. You won't have any choice in the matter. We must all appear. God highly exalted Jesus and gave him a name which is above every name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And we will. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, there have been people that have already passed through the scene of time, never believed in Jesus, never believed who he was, denied it, denied that he was the Christ. There are people that live in the world right now, presently, that don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They don't believe he's the Savior of the world. There's going to be people perhaps yet born into this world and live and die, never believing that. But the day is coming. Listen, it's truth. The day is coming when every knee will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess his lordship. But it'll be too late for those. It'll be too late to benefit those who would not believe it in this life. Oh, listen, there's things that are hard for our minds to imagine, but they're going to take place. They're going to take place. Everybody that's ever lived will one day stand before the Lord and be judged according to his truth. You know, I wonder, I really do, I wonder, and I hope, and I pray that we truly do love the truth. Because, you know what, honestly, it's not nearly as difficult for us to say that we love the truth. It's not as difficult for us to gather here inside this beautiful sanctuary where we feel a certain amount of safety and we feel that we are among people that believe what we believe. And in this setting, it's not as difficult for us to say, oh, I love the truth, as it is when we're being challenged and when we're being threatened. And you know, as I said earlier, I'm so thankful and have love in my heart for churches like this church that has held on to the truth. But I'll tell you who I really have respect for are those saints of old that we read about in the Bible and in the pages of history that prove their love for the truth by even being willing to die rather than denounce the truth of God's word. Think about it. Do you love the Lord? Do you love his truth? I'll tell you what, I believe that when people really find that out, when we really find out if we love the truth or if we love the Lord the way that we should, is when it's put to the test. I can tell you this, and I don't, I haven't ever witnessed nearly what preachers of the past have, but I have witnessed enough of this to know that when you preach the truth to people that believe the same thing that you do, it's different than when you preach to somebody and there's somebody out there in the crowd that doesn't like it and they're in your face about it. Suddenly, it's a little bit different. Trust me, it's a different feeling. And I think that that's when we really know. Folks, I'm not a prophet. You all know that. I'm not a prophet. But I can look around and I can see things and I can hear things that lead me to believe that whether or not we really love the truth, that we're likely to find out. You know, I mean, it's really being challenged, isn't it? You know, are we really going to stand? Because there's things, I believe, that are right here upon us. There's things that the church is going to face. The way things are looking, that we're going to have to decide, are we willing to be persecuted for the truth? You may not believe that, but I do. I think it's right here upon us. Listen, these scriptures that I read here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, they were written by a man that had been greatly persecuted for preaching the truth. And listen, I want to encourage every Christian to love the truth, to embrace the truth. And listen, when you're in the presence of your worldly friends, be willing to represent the truth. Don't let the desire for popularity or anything else keep you from being willing to stand for the truth. Because let me tell you something. Your worldly friends need the truth. That's what they need. The truth liberates. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's what they need. They need the truth. And so, you know, Paul loved Timothy. He loved him. The Bible tells us that he even used terms of endearment when he spoke of him. He called him his dearly beloved son in the faith. He loved Timothy, but he loved the truth more. He obviously loved the truth more because Paul had been greatly persecuted. He had gone through many things for his stand for the truth, for preaching the truth, and he was about to be put to death because of it. And yet he writes this epistle to Timothy, and he says, you preach the truth. You preach it despite the fact that there's going to be those that will not endure it. There's going to be those that will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There's a lot of itching ears in the world today. There's a lot of people that they want to hear what makes them sound good. They want to go to assemblies. I'm just going to tell you just exactly what I believe about it. They want to go to assemblies that are called churches, that many of them are not churches at all. And they want to go sit and they want to hear somebody tickle their ear with a great sermon about love or something of that nature, and they want to leave there and they want to feel good about themselves, and they want to go and leave and continue in their sinful life and feel good about it. If you don't believe that's true, listen to their testimonies. They want to choose an ungodly lifestyle and then say, don't dare question my Christianity. Wrong. Wrong. The truth. Paul loved the truth. He loved the truth enough that even though it had cost him dearly to preach it, he told Timothy, you preach it. Preach it. You preach the word. Even though there'll be those that won't endure it, you preach the word. You make full proof of your ministry. Listen, if I think that, and we need to be careful not to brag, the the Apostle Peter did that, and it backfired on him. We need God's grace. You know, Peter said, "Oh, I'll die with you, Jesus." Jesus said, "No, you won't. Y'all are gonna be scattered because of me." We need to pray that God will give us the grace. But listen, we need to be willing to stand for the truth, because if we don't, we may as well be gone anyway, because we're of no use to God if we won't. We're of no use to the Lord if we won't stand for the truth. Those are my thoughts. That's my message. The truth is what the world needs. The truth is, I'm telling you, folks, America needs to hear the truth. Because they are steeped, people in this nation are steeped in lies and falsehoods, and they need to hear the truth. The truth of God's word. And for those that will embrace it, it'll set them free. It'll set them free from sin. Brother Strode, let's have a song. I'll say this, if you're here today and you're lost, you need to let the Lord have his way with you. You need to seek him that you might be set free. Thank you for your attention.
Number 109, I'd rather have the truth. I'd rather have Jesus. And you, 109, as we stand. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. That my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast